The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus surprisingly tells us that he comes to bring division. We find out why and what that's all about today. Sunday school today, we learn about a woman named Lydia, about baptism, and about using our spiritual gifts in God's service. Voters' assembly will meet during the Sunday school hour, and however much time we need for voters' assembly we'll use, and then the rest of it will be Bible class if we have time left over. So that's at 10:30 a.m. this morning. In our prayers today, we include Barry Serber, a friend of the Martins, and we also include Stanley Steinheimer, Gloria's brother, both of whom are in going through one heart and one cancer treatments. Next Saturday, there is an Everyone His Witness workshop in Mascoutah. I urge you to attend that if you can. It'll help us to better speak about Christ in our everyday life. There's no cost to it, although you can toss in a little bit for lunch if you would like. Let me know if you'd like to attend that, or you can just register using the information that's in the bulletin. So all the details are in the bulletin about that. Encourage you to invite someone that you know to Bible class with you this week, this Wednesday. We've got two great groups that meet on Wednesday, and urge you to be a part of those. Our organ is acting up this morning. If suddenly the organ stops, we'll just keep right on going, and Christine will move over to the piano. She said she's not sure how long it'll hold out. We'll see. Any other announcements that need to be made today?
Hey, Esther, Sue. Is that the one that Micah Glenn is involved with?
No, this is a synod one. I think Micah is coordinating with it, but it's not the one specifically that he is over. Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to us in his word, in his supper, so that the one who brings division can bring unity on the basis of his word. the Divine Service, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
God's own child, I gladly save.
Kyrie, page 204. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven, proclaim that Jesus birth. We praise and bless you, Father.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, grant us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.' For who among you has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened?
Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said to those who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
For it is not an enemy you taunt me, but I can bear it.
It is not an adversary who deals insolent with me, then I could hide from him. We used to take sweet counsel together.
Within God's house we walked in the throng.
But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac your offspring shall be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they knew, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace, to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 206. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Us out of death to life. Word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the Gospel for the day from Luke chapter 12. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our division-bringing Lord, Jesus Christ. So the Jesus introduced to us in today's gospel will never be confused with Mr. Rogers in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. This Jesus is not kind, he is not cuddly, he is not unoffensive. This Jesus is bold, he is abrasive. This Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Which sounds strange to our ears. Jesus comes to bring division. He's the Prince of Peace. Let me read for you. "Dear Abby, my parents, who are in their early 80s, live a four-hour drive from me. I received a typewritten invitation to come up and spend Labor Day with them to spend Father's Day with them as well as my mother's birthday. The problem is my mother stipulated that before coming to their house to share a meal, we must all join in going to church together. My parents keep pushing the church. I don't believe in organized religion, so I politely declined. Abby, it isn't a matter of going to church once to satisfy my mother. She'll push the issue again and again. Maybe that's because mom cares about where daughter spends eternity. Mom seems to be a Christian, daughter not. Can you see why it is that Jesus says they will be divided, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother?" Some of you will remember Taka Cheekner. She and her husband Max spoke here, I want to say 15, 20 years ago. I will never forget her speaking about coming to faith in Jesus. She grew up in Japan. Her family was all Shinto. Therefore, they worshiped ancestors. When she came to believe that Jesus had lived and died and rose for her, she gave up ancestor worship. She worshiped only Jesus. As a result, her family shunned her, pushed her out of her life for the rest of her life. It never changed. Can you imagine giving up your entire family to trust Jesus? Jesus divides. Some of you have a husband or a wife who isn't real happy about your participation in the church. Every time you go to worship or to Bible class, there's a little tension in the house. Jesus divides. Husband against wife. Wife against husband. You sit down at a table with four of your friends to talk about another friend who has recently passed away. One of them says, "Evelyn is for sure to be in heaven. She was such a good person." And you want to keep your mouth shut and not make waves, but you get up the courage this time to say, "You know, Evelyn was a sinner just like the rest of us. The only way any of us are going to get to heaven is through Jesus." And somebody at the table protests, "You mean if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to heaven?" And with a little more courage, you say, "Yes, because Jesus is the only one who has removed the sin that keeps us out of heaven." And one of the friends at the table actually agrees with you. Three think you're narrow-minded and a bigot. Jesus divides. Three friends against two and two against three. Jesus brings division. That is not his goal. He came into the world to save sinners. But some people believe that he is their savior, others do not. That brings division. Some people believe that the Bible is true, others do not. That brings division. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. There are times in Bible class that somebody will mention a false teaching of the Mormons or the Muslims or the Roman Catholics, or the Baptists, or our fellow Lutherans. And you can kind of feel people starting to squirm, especially if there are members of other denominations in the room. Talking about doctrine only divides us, right? Wrong. We are already divided. talking about doctrine addresses the divisions so that we can heal them. Unfortunately, people who talk about the differences among religions and denominations are often labeled as troublemakers, as if they're causing the divisions, but they're not causing the divisions. The divisions are already there. Talking about doctrine doesn't divide us. It helps us to overcome those divisions with the Word of God. If you know me well, you know that I have a personality that likes to avoid controversy. I just as soon gloss over the differences, pretend they don't exist. But you know what? My Muslim, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, and Jewish friends do not believe that Jesus is God, who gave his life as a sacrifice for their sins and ours. Which means that if the Holy Spirit does not change their heart, I'm going to spend eternity without those friends. They need me to talk about what divides us, Jesus. There are a lot of churches, ours included, who practice closed communion. We don't invite everyone to the altar. People will say, well, you're causing division. No, we're recognizing that divisions already exist, and we're seeking to overcome those divisions by pointing them out. We're also caring enough about our fellow people to not hand out powerful medications to people who are not prepared to receive them. First, what we want to do is to teach them to take as directed. Then they can come to the altar, receive God's gifts, and receive it to their benefit, not their harm. They can leave with forgiveness, with peace, with the strength to live each day as God's children. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that your works help with your salvation. And so what happens? Christians begin to doubt, am I saved or am I not saved? Because I don't know if I've done enough good works. Mainline Protestants will say, you can't believe the Bible, which leaves Christians wondering, well, did Jesus really die for me, rise for me? Is he really coming again for me the way the Bible says? Because I can't believe the Bible. Evangelical Christians will sometimes say, yes, Jesus saved you, but it is your faith in Jesus, your decision to follow him that saves you. And then people are left wondering, well, is my belief sincere enough? Or am I going to be left out of God's kingdom? I can do what comes naturally to me. I can avoid controversy. I can ignore divisions. I can let these people live without the peace that Jesus came to give and the assurance of salvation. You can stand by silently, acting as if you do not care about where your friends and family members spend their eternity. Or you can do what that mother did that the daughter complained about to Dear Abby. And you can speak up, even if it causes some waves. You can do what Taka Cheekner did and be ready to give up friends, even family, because Jesus is greater yet. Repent of thinking that you and I should keep quiet about our differences and just get along. Repent of thinking that peace means ignoring false teachings that harm other people's faith and their assurance of eternity. Jesus says, I came to bring fire on the earth. He's talking about the fire of judgment, the fire that should consume every single one of us because we are sinners. But Jesus put himself into the fire. He let the fire consume him instead of us. Jesus says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. You know what baptism he's talking about? It's not his baptism in the Jordan River, because that had already happened. And Jesus is clearly talking about something in the future. He's talking about being baptized, bathed in a bloodbath. He's talking about being soaked in your sin and then being submerged in death for you. That's what he means when he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. This is why Jesus says, I am distressed until it is accomplished, or how great is my distress until it is accomplished. He wouldn't have any distress if he was just talking about being dipped in water. He's distressed because he knows that he is about to be nailed to a cross and damned for your sin, my sin, and the sin of every human who has ever lived. And now, dear Christians, you do not have to be distressed, wondering if God will forsake you, if you're divided from the one who made you. You know God loves you because Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus came out of the tomb to assure that you will live forever. Jesus is coming again to take you to be where he is. Now you don't have to be distressed either. If people get offended when you point out the divisions among us, those friends that you're afraid that you will lose if you point out that our works don't have anything to do with our salvation, that husband or wife you feel like you might anger if you're involved in the church, that son or daughter that you think will be alienated if you point out that their unbaptized child is a sinner who needs the promises of baptism, those people may be eternally grateful to you if you're willing to risk a little discomfort and to speak to them about Jesus. Mel Beisiegel is taking catechism instruction right now. Would you have ever believed that was going to happen, Gloria? You never know what our God is going to do, and we keep praying that he will. Sometimes I think talking to our family is the scariest, but it is so important. How many of you here, did the Holy Spirit use a family member to bring you to Jesus? Hold up your hand. Because my hand is up, because my parents brought me to the font. My parents taught me Jesus. And the vast majority of Christians in this world came to faith, not because a pastor told them about Jesus, but because a family member, or sometimes a friend, told them about Jesus. This is our chance. This is why we speak. Remember, Jesus is just as distressed by our divisions as you and I are, because he came to save all people. He came that we might have a knowledge of the truth. That's why he pours his life on you at the font. That's why he puts his life into your ears from this pulpit. That's why he feeds his life into you with Jesus' body and blood at this altar, so that you can fight the good fight of faith. Stand up for Jesus. And so that you will not flinch, but also so that you'll know you already have forgiveness for your failures when you do flinch, because you too have been involved in a bloodbath. It happened at the font when you were bathed in Jesus' blood that is still washing away every sin that you could possibly have. Jesus came to bring fire on this earth, and it is not just the fire of division, it is also the fire of his Holy Spirit, who grants you faith to believe in Jesus, that Jesus lived for you, that he will bring you back to life, that he is coming again to take you to be where he is. Might that divide you from your friends, your family, and your society? Yes. But God did not put Christ our Savior Lutheran Church in Freiburg. He did not put you and me in this world to keep silent about his truth. He put us here to speak his truth, to share that with others. The way Abraham told Isaac, the way Joseph told Pharaoh, the way somebody told Rahab. Did you catch that in Hebrews 11 today? What a strange thing. A Palestinian prostitute getting mentioned in this hall of fame of faith. She lives in Jericho. She's an enemy to God's people. She's a Canaanite, not an Israelite. But the Israelite spies come and they stay at her inn. If I were one of those spies, I think I'd have said, I'm not pointing out the divisions between Canaanites and Israelites. I'm not going to talk to her because she might get ticked at us. And if she gets ticked, she might turn us into the authorities. Instead, one of them apparently has the boldness to talk to Rahab about God's promises. And Rahab comes to believe. She gives up her false faith. She trusts the promise of a Messiah. And she actually ends up as an ancestor of the Messiah. And she ends up listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith that we are called to emulate. All because someone recognized that our Lord does bring division. And so they spoke to her and told her about the promises of our Lord. Does Jesus bring division? Yes, because we humans are prone to reject Jesus and his word, which ought to cause you and me to speak up even more boldly, even when it causes us discomfort. We need to remember Jesus' ultimate purpose is not to divide, it is to unite us. To unite us on the basis of his word, to unite us in Jesus, to unite us as people who all have been blood-bathed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray together as baptized children of our Heavenly Father. For the word of the Lord to be preached freely and faithfully, for sinners to be warned and urged to repentance, for the penitent to rejoice in Christ's forgiveness, and for courage among us to speak about Christ and live holy lives, even when there are divisions, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the church, for those whom the Lord has gathered by the voice of his word in the saving waters of baptism, for St. Mark, St. Peter, St. John, and Zion congregations, for those from whom we remain divided because they do not believe. Let us pray to the Lord. For our congregation and our life together, for the work of God that happens here and in our community and world through the witness and generosity of our members, and for the Lord to prosper our efforts according to his will, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors, that they faithfully serve our Lord, for all church workers who serve, for those preparing for full-time church work in our colleges and seminaries, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for unity in the church, that where there are divisions, the Holy Spirit give us boldness to acknowledge them, humility to discuss them, and God's word to overcome them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the welfare of our families, for parents who are diligent in disciplining their children and raising them in the faith, for the care and protection of those who are widowed and orphaned, for the aged and infirmed, that we surround them with God's love, let us pray to the Lord. For peace in our world, for this nation and for good government, for wise and faithful leaders, for those who protect our liberty as members of the armed forces, for those who judge our laws and guard the rule of law among us, and for a holy respect to life and a godly understanding of marriage in our society, let us pray to the Lord. For all schools, students, teachers, and administrators, including Unity School in East St. Louis, that Christian schools joyfully teach the faith and that all schools prepare students for life in God's world, let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful who will commune here today, for humble preparation so that we are ready to receive the body and blood of our Lord with repentance and faith, and for the fruits of this sacrament to be displayed in our lives according to God's commands, let us pray to the Lord. For those who have wandered from the faith, for those who have been absent from the Lord's house, for those who have been hurt or wounded by our words or actions, for the reconciliation of all by the forgiveness of Christ, and for Larry, Carter, Alicia, and Michelle, whose baptisms we remember, let us pray to the Lord. For the grieving and those who mourn, for Christians who are persecuted for their faith because of divisions, for Stanley, Barry, Scott, John, Sharon, Nina, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Sherry, Kathy, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Hope, Ed, Ingrid, the Martinez family, Mel, and for all who are sick,
that God grant them faith in Jesus, patience, strength, comfort, and help. Let us pray to the Lord. For the birth of Emmett Theodore, for the life and faith of our brother Richard, for hearts that cheerfully acknowledge God's goodness, for generosity to help those in need, and for joyful souls that eagerly support the church and the work of God's kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And for the service of the sacrament, page 208. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and his blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
John the gospel arm, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day and bears his cross below, he follows in his train. The martyr first whose eagle eye could pierce beyond the body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
given unto death true love,
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.